Had a good week. Good to see y'all here this morning. We'll go ahead and pray this morning. We'll get back into lesson one, our new book. We'll be talking about our response to injustice. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to come this way this morning. Lord, I pray that you just help us this morning, Lord, to, as we try to study, Lord, what you would have us to understand about injustice done toward us, and Lord, how we should react to that, and Lord, help us to do that in the way that will glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we talked about last week the reality of injustice, that we all know that we will suffer some degree of injustice in our lives, and we already have, and we will continue to do so. We talked about the roots of injustice is man's sin, but the important part is our response to injustice. Injustice has a way of bringing our lives to a halt, and maybe you're experiencing that now. You've been treated unjustly, perhaps by a parent, a close friend, teacher, neighbor, co-worker, or even a spouse. Now you're trying to decide where to go from here. How can you move toward healing? How can you see God take the hurts and injustices you've been dealt and make them work for good in your life? Because we know that God can do that. But what we need to be able to do is to, how do we realize that? How does it become real to us that God is going to do that? Now, maybe this has happened in the past and you do not handle it well. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm over it now and I'm doing okay with it. But there was an injustice that happened in the past and you did not handle it very well. But it has been long enough now that you're over it. But maybe this was still help by knowing that what to do the next time that something like that happens. In general terms, we have two options. So in response to injustice, you can really cut it all down to responding two different ways. Option way is our natural response, reacting in the flesh. Instead of believing that God can use what happened to us, we decide we're going to get even. And, you know, I think that term is really, get even, is basically misused, because I don't remember ever seeing anybody wanting to get even. They want to get ahead. You've got to get them down just a little bit lower than what they got you. And then that's what you really consider even, is when you're looking down at them instead of them looking down at you. People often clothe this option in what seems like some type of reasoning. They say something like, well, that's the way it was when I was growing up, so it's all right to be that way. How many things have we reasoned and reconciled in our mind that because that's the way it's always been, it's okay to do it? Just because someone else did wrong doesn't make it right for us to continue the cycle. Sometimes everything in our flesh wants to hurt them back, but the result of that vindictiveness is deeper heartache. As believers, God has given us a better path. And so when you're done wrong, and you do wrong back, and they do wrong back, and they do wrong back, and then your children see you do wrong, and they do wrong, and somebody does wrong to them, and it's a cycle, it's a vicious cycle. It's just like riding down the road on a bicycle, and you're pushing the one pedal down with your right foot, and it's bringing the other pedal up, so you push it down with the left foot, and it's just on and on and on. And you go through your life, you travel through your life in that cycle. Well, it's a terrible cycle, a terrible life to do that. Option B is a supernatural response. You say, well, I'm not Superman. I can't do that. I'm not Superwoman. I can't do that. Reacting as Christ would. This is the response of a Spirit-filled Christian. Now, you can't do that. But if you're spirit-filled, you can do that with the help of God. 1 Peter 2:23 says, "Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." You know, when we have something done to us, the Bible makes it very clear, Jesus has laid us down the example on the cross, and before he got on the cross, and so he didn't revile back, he didn't say anything, and even when they accused him, he didn't even say anything. Remember the WWJD bracelets, and some of you probably still got some. Some of you may still wear them, I don't know. Well, when we have injustice done to us, that's when we... Well, let me take this bracelet off. Now I can do what I want to do. Well, if that's all you've got is that bracelet that's keeping you from behaving wrongly, you need some help. Don't miss that phrase, "committed himself to him that judges righteously." Jesus' response was possible because he trusted the Father to be the judge. And we want to be judge and jury when we're done wrong. We know that we've been done. And maybe you are absolutely correct. You were done wrong. Sometimes we just think we're done wrong because we just didn't like it. Sometimes we're absolutely correct. We were done wrong. You can be done wrong. And maybe you were really not responsible for it all. You didn't do anything to the other person. And they just did you wrong. Well, then what we will do, we won't be judge and jury. Well, I'm right, so I have the right to judge them. No, you don't. Just because you are right doesn't mean you have the right. While in our hearts we may want to respond in a spirit-filled, Christ-like way, if we're honest with ourselves, that's easier said than done. Because each time you do that, you have to overcome the flesh. Because the flesh does not want to respond in a spirit-filled way. In theory, we know we're going to face injustice. And we know we should respond like our Savior. But on the practical level, however, what does that look like? Sometimes we look at our WWJD bracelet and we just have to ask, well, what would Jesus do? You know, every situation that we come to, it's not automatic. Well, Jesus would do this, that's what I'm going to do. Jesus would do this, that's what I'm going to do. Sometimes something happens, you say, I don't know what Jesus would do. Well, that's when we have to figure out what Jesus would do. That's when we need to pray. That's when we need to wait on the Lord. I'm going to read something to you that... We studied in King's Kids this past Wednesday night. Now, this was written in a journal by Ann Judson. Her husband, Adoniram Judson, was falsely imprisoned for being an English spy when he was in Burma, which is beside of India. India and Burma were at war because India was a colony at that time of England, and England, of course, was trying to expand. This was in 1824. So basically 50 years after our Revolutionary War. She says about him being in prison, "Sometimes for days and days together, I could not go into the prison till after dark." Now the reason she needed to go into the prison was because the prison did not provide food for the prisoners. If you didn't have food, somebody to bring you food, you just died of starvation. Not prison like it is here. They didn't know you anything. It was just a room with men in it. That's all you had. In Burma. 110 degrees. "I could not go into the prison until after dark, when I had 2 miles to walk in returning to the house. Oh, how many, many times have I returned from that dreary prison at 9 o'clock at night, solitary and worn out with fatigue and anxiety." And she wasn't walking 2 miles down Highway 150. She was walking through a country that had all kinds of wild animals. It had 40 different kinds of venomous snakes. at 9 o'clock at night, solitary and worn out with fatigue and anxiety, and endeavored to invent some new scheme for the release of the prisoners. The greatest cause of my distress consisted in awful uncertainty of our final fate. My prevailing opinion was that my husband would suffer violent death, and that I should, of course, become a slave and languish out a miserable, though short existence, in the tyrannic hands of some unfeeling monster. But the consolations of my faith in these trying circumstances were neither few nor small. It took me to beyond this world, to that rest, that peaceful, happy rest, where Jesus reigns and oppression never enters. Now, none of us in here, I don't believe, have ever suffered anything, went through anything like that. Prison's not like that here for one thing, but we've just not gone through that. I'm not saying that you haven't gone through a terrible injustice. I'm just saying that when we do, we can react the way that the Judsons did. Because if God can help them do that, He can help us do that. Letter A, recognize your responsibility. As God's child, as somebody that says, I'm a Christian, then you have a responsibility to react like Jesus. We saw earlier Joseph's brothers had excused their unjust treatment because they themselves had been treated unfairly. If Joseph had followed this reasoning, he too would have been unjust to the people with whom he dealt. This would have changed the trajectory of his life. Now, we know where Joseph ended up. He ended up second in command over all of Egypt. But he chose not to revile against his brothers. What if he had chosen different? What if he got to Potiphar's house and he got there and his wife accused him of that or asked him to? And he thought, well, nobody will know. I deserve this. Look what all this wrong has been done to me. I'll take what he's given me, then I'll take what she's given me, and I'll just have the best of both worlds. Then he would have been thrown in prison anyway, and then he would have just rotted in prison. But that's not the trajectory or the path that he took. Our world often says, you can justify doing wrong if you were hurt as a child. You aren't really responsible for your responses in life. But that doesn't hold up to Scripture. Scripture says that's not right. We have to remember we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Again, if we say we're a child of God, then we have the responsibility to behave that way. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now that's saved or lost, but we're talking about saved people right now. We will give account of our lives to God at the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to get by with anything. Now, we're going to heaven if we're saved, but we may think that we've got a lot of rewards packed up there, and Jesus might say, well, you did have, but you lost it. Or you could have had rewards, but you never got them because of this and because of that. Remember this. See, God hasn't for. When it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, all these things are there. And we've missed out on it because of that. Now, we're forgiven, but we're missing out on rewards in heaven for what we could have done, could have received. God doesn't give us a pass to hurt others because of someone else's sin. The Lord has always dealt with us one heart at a time. You know, when we talk about ourselves, or when we hear somebody talking about us and about maybe something wrong that we did, we just want them to tell, you know, or maybe it's an interaction between us and somebody else. We want them to tell our side of the story. We want to paint a good picture. You know, and on ESPN, there's a play-by-play commentator. And then there's a color commentator. And the play-by-play tells you exactly what happens, and then the color commentator, he tells you why he thinks it happened or how they were able to do that. And we want somebody to color our site real pretty. And then we want to color like an 18-month-old, you know, if they're even coloring yet, the other side. We want our side presented well and in our favor. Nothing you have done is a legitimate reason for other people to do you wrong. Maybe you did mistreat them, maybe you did, but that's not a reason for them to treat you wrong. But on the other hand, nothing they have done is a reason for you to treat them wrong. We each bear responsibility for how we respond and how we act. Although you may be part of the cycle of injustice because of what others have done to you, you can break it with God's help. I want to say again, I know that injustice can cut deep, but we also know that Jesus can cut deep. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we know that although you could tell anybody else, you don't understand. You don't know how bad it is. You haven't went through it. You weren't there. You can't comprehend how I feel. We can't tell Jesus that. Because He does know. He is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows exactly what happened. He knows exactly your intent. He knows exactly their intent. So we can't say that to God. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, but the Bible also says that Jesus is the balm of Gilead. God has more healing than we have hurt. He can heal all our hurts and not have any less healing to go around. When Potiphar's wife attempted to entice Joseph to commit adultery, Joseph had to decide if he wanted to follow the path of his brothers or do what he knew was right. He could have rationalized and said, sure, why not? God seems to have abandoned me anyway. My brothers have rejected me. My father hasn't been able to do anything to deliver me. Nobody here knows anything about me. Nobody will ever know. Why not? You might say, well, if God was going to help, He'd already done it by now. I might as well. No one's going to believe that I didn't anyway. You ever heard that excuse? You ever heard that song, Excuses, Excuses? The devil will give you an excuse to treat somebody wrong. He'll give you an excuse to do wrong. Joseph knew that even though he had been treated unjustly, he would be sinning against God to commit this act. Again, we think of it as getting even, to even the score. But it's still sin. The only way that it wouldn't be sin is if you even the score with God. And you can't do that. He has forgiven your sins. He has saved you. He's taken you to heaven. You can't even that score. So we have to follow His example and do what He says is right. Railway only perpetuates that cycle. In fact, you may right now be so ensnared in this vicious cycle of injustice that you feel like you can't get out, that you can't do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That assumption is correct. In your own strength, you will fail. But God does not call us to break the cycle in our strength. He offers us His strength. God will help us to do that if we will turn to Him. Joseph was persecuted by his brothers. He was put in the pit. He was sold to the profiteers. He was sold to Potiphar. He was put in prison. The butcher left him in prison. And then the next step was second in command in Egypt. that are being refused to get eaten. It's you have to make up your mind that you're not going to get even. If you don't, you're constantly going to be thinking, well, how do I get even? What can I do back to them? What can I say to somebody? Who can I tell to get back? You have to make up your mind that's not what you're going to do. You're going to only just not do it. You have to make up your mind you're not going to do it. Joseph could not have manipulated or brought about this turn of events from being sold into slavery to becoming the ruler of Egypt. This is the kind of story only God could write and which God delights to write for those who leave vengeance with Him. But we hate to wait. We're going as fast as we can, doing everything we can to get something done, maybe even something for God, but it seems like God is moving in slow motion. Have you ever been on a four-lane road in a town and you've seen somebody wanting to turn left into a business and they're on the inside lane and they've got traffic stopped back behind them, and then somebody on the inside lane and going the other direction stops and motions them through. And then when they go through, boom, just like that, the other car hits them in the other lane because they didn't wait. They thought everything was okay, and just that, in that moment of being thankful that somebody stopped and waved them through, you simply followed what they said, not thinking to check that other lane. I mean, there's a place in Kernersville that used to happen all the time. People turned into McDonald's. And then they put up those little reflectors that bend over, you know. Well, that didn't stop nobody. Them things was laying in the road all over the place all the time. And finally they put up a median where it would be very difficult to get across. But we do that, and we're looking for that person to say, you know what, you're right, that's what you ought to do to them. Just go ahead. You're all right, go ahead. You're all right, go ahead. And then when we do, boom, God says, no, that's not what you're supposed to do. Approximately 22 years after Joseph was sold into slavery, his brothers came to Egypt to buy food. It would have been justice had Joseph said, for every year I was Potiphar's slave, you'll be a slave to me. For every year I spend in jail, you'll spend a year in jail, and then maybe we'll talk about giving you some food. Now that would have been, you just talking about human justice. You did that to him, well, that's fair, you know. But Joseph refused to retaliate. But we want to lash out and make those who hurt us pay. But God sees it differently. Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine, I will repay. We need to allow God to repay what was done to us. No matter how badly someone has hurt us, if we retaliate, we are not only disobeying God, but we are forfeiting His promise to bring justice. We're saying, God, listen. Now we can say, Romans 8:28, I know you're going to work it out. I know everything's going to be all right, but I ain't going to wait on you. So you just keep what you got, God. Whatever you've got planned for me, you just keep that. I'd rather have justice now. Because when you do that, you have forfeited what God could do for you. 1 Samuel 24:6. David said, the Lord forbid I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. There were times that David could have easily killed Saul, but he did not. As a matter of fact, when Saul was killed, he was injured in battle. He saw that he was going to die. He fell on his own sword. He still didn't die. And then an Amalekite come up, and out of mercy, out of the request of Saul, slew Saul. And David killed the Amalekite. because of what he raised his hand against the anointing. He said, he could have lived, and you killed him. Out of being king now, he had the right to do that. And the man should have not done that. He knew he was king. He knew he should not have raised his hand against the anointed of God. Years later, when David was in power and his son Absalom rebelled against him, David had the chance to crush him. Once again, he responded correctly. David said in 2 Samuel 18:5, now this is after Absalom had conspired, took the kingdom away from David, run his father out of Jerusalem. He said, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. But David's military leader, Joab, who was David's nephew, Absalom's cousin, was a murderer. Joab killed Absalom, and later Solomon, also Joab's cousin, killed Joab by legal proclamation from King David. Remember, God told David, the sword shall never depart from thine house. David did have the two sins named in the Bible, but when it came to justice toward himself, he never reacted. He reacted the way that God said to. Now, I do want to take this time to say, understand that this does not mean that we are to be pacifists. Refusing to retaliate does not mean that there is never a time to defend yourself. If a man comes up with a gun and says, I'm going to kill you and your wife, that is not the time to turn the other cheek. If you are in a situation where you are being physically abused or threatened, God does not expect you to stay and take it. For example, when Saul was trying to kill David, David fled from the palace. We aren't expected to take abuse from everyone who comes our way. Injustice, in the context we are talking about, is people who are insulting you, mistreating you, or being unfair toward you, not physically harming you. There are times when it is right to answer an accusation or take action to protect life. When a crime is committed, it is right to report it to authorities. Matter of fact, any time a physical or sexual crime is committed against a child, it must be reported. But there is never a time when it is right to exact revenge. So we don't say, you know, turn the other cheek when somebody is physically harming you. But when they've just done you, when the injustice is done, it's not right to take revenge. You protect yourself, but after it's done, you don't go back and get revenge. And some people have a hard time separating the two facts. After the fact is done, then you allow God to do revenge if you're talking about physical harm. Now, there's sometimes you just don't you never react. If somebody comes up to you and cusses you out, that don't mean you can cuss them out. That don't mean you can bless them out even if you don't cuss. But there's times when you must protect yourself. Let's see what we got left here. Let us see. Remember God's master plan. Remember God's master plan. God is completely in control of everything that happens. Joseph recognized this as he spoke to his brothers. Genesis 50 and chapter 50, verses 20 and 21. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And see, that's almost impossible to do through the flesh. But it takes wanting to follow what God says to be able to do that. There was nothing that Joseph could do to make himself any better. Even if he wasn't second in command, he couldn't better himself if he did anything. And a lot of times that's the reason people want to get even. That's the reason they want revenge, because they think they'll feel better when they do it. They might feel better right then, But down the road, they're in that cycle then, and they continue to do that. And then they'll mistreat other people. But as God's child, we have the example of Christ to follow. And that's what we should follow. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day that You've given us. We thank You for all Your many blessings. Lord, help us, Lord, to, when we are done injustice, Lord, to not to try to get even, not to try to exact revenge, but Lord, let us turn to You and allow You to do justice, and not that we're praying for You to hurt them or do something to them, but Lord, we just leave it all in Your hands, whether anything is ever done or not. Lord, because we know You're our Father, we know we're going to heaven, and Lord, we know how the Bible says we should react. Help us to do that. That brings glory to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.